family, and welcome to Coach to Love Radio with your host, Clarence White. Tonight is May 15, 2014. Tonight we're talking about success and whether or not your success or our success is a blessing or a curse. Well, if you're like us, then that topic alone, just success in general, brings up so many emotions. First of all, we have trouble defining what is success. Is success the acquisition of or the ability to purchase certain things, a mansion on a hill, a $100,000 car, a watch that captures everyone's attention? Is it fine clothing or the ability to eat at any restaurant that you desire or to travel the world? Is success for you being able to attract people to you, notoriety, fame, to have a fan club or a fan base? Or could it be success for you or I, the fact that we have a certain set of initials or acronyms behind our name? Do people call us doctor or attorney, CEO or CFO or CPA? Are we looked up to by our peers or by those who serve us or those we serve? Are we a pastor? Are we a teacher? Are we a police person or a fire person? Is that how we define the success? Is success the fact that we've hit certain goals in our life? Could it be the fact that you lost the weight that you were trying to lose or gain the weight you were trying to gain? Is it the fact that your hair is now in the health condition or the length that you desired it to be? Could it be that you finally have gotten those braces that you desired for all your life and you have the teeth and the smile to show and prove for everybody to see? I think we can agree on this one thing, that success is defined personally, not globally. And because of that, for some of us, that same success also our curse. It's the fact that we're now famous, that everybody is looking to us and setting certain standards for us that we have not set for ourselves. Therein lies the Charles Barkley of the world who say, "I'm no one's role model." Or is it the fact that now that you have that nice car or that nice house, you've never been under so much pressure or anxiety or fear in your entire life, worried about what might happen to those things? Is it that the fact that you finally obtained that degree or certification or designation as doctor or attorney, that now all of a sudden you have to worry about people suing you or trying to get your gain? I don't know who said it first, but it was Biggie Smalls, the notorious B.I.G., who I first heard it from. More money, more problems. Well, tonight we talk about success, and we want to hear from you and what you think about success, and whether your success, yours or someone you know, has been a blessing to you or a curse. So thank you for listening so far to Coach to Love Radio with your host, Clarence White. And I hope that you're inspired to go through the rest of this conversation as I am, finding out how you define success for yourself personally and whether that success will continue to be a blessing to you or a curse. But for now, let's go to a commercial break, and afterwards we'll hear a new song that for our audience. And we will be right back after that with our favorite passion player, Andrea M. Scott. And again, you're listening to Coach to Love Radio with your host, Clarence White, on the Survival Radio Christian Network. Stay tuned.
Friend of mine, friend of mine. Some say that mothers speak an international language of love for our children. So when 20 D.C. area power moms joined with a major fashion designer to help raise funds for needy children, there was no surprise that we had to do it again. El Shandi Designs presents the second annual black tie event, Runway Moms for a Cause. Join these moms at 7 p.m. on Friday, May 9th at the Renaissance Washington, D.C. DuPont Circle Hotel. For more information, visit us at www.runwaymoms.org.
It's not always easy being a dad.
When's the fairy princess coming?
Any minute now.
What? What do you mean she's not coming?
But it's always worth it.
It's fairy princess!
It is I!
Grooves! Zinkle bells! Yeah.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life.
I know it's really you, Drew. I'm just pretending for the other kids.
Take time to be a dad today. Call 877-4-DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
When I grow up, I want to be a new pair of blue jeans.
When I grow up, I want to be a kid's first computer.
I want to be a warm place on a cold day.
I want to be a football
stadium. I want to be a bike that races around the country.
I want to be a bench on a forest trail.
When I grow up, I don't want to be a piece of garbage. And if you recycle me, I won't be.
Give your garbage another life. Recycle. Learn how at iwanttoberecycled.org. Brought to you by Keep America Beautiful and the Ad Council.
Cake Cafe Atlanta, where desserts are created and you taste love. Looking to fill your sweet tooth? Do you have a special event or occasion you're planning? Give Cake Cafe Atlanta a call. Located at 368 Candler Road, Atlanta, Georgia, 30317. Open Monday to Saturday, 10 to 7 p.m. You can get the best in pies, cakes, cobblers, coffee, brownies, specialty popcorn, and more. Visit their website at www.cakecafeatlanta.com or give them a call at 404-284-0106. That's 404-284-0106. Call Cake Cafe Atlanta today.
I said this can't be happening to me. I wasn't ready for the challenge, for my life was still unbalanced, and the pleasing of my fans and my friends still had demands on me. Charged.
Welcome back to the show. This is Andrea M. Scott with your Passion Play for the Day. I am here to usher you into living your authentic truth as you walk in passion and live full out. So today we are talking about success, blessing or a curse. And I wonder, what were you taught about success? What was your idea? Were you taught that money was the root of all evil? Were you taught that you could only be successful if you just worked very, very hard and sacrificed your family and friends? Were you taught that success was evil because it made you do horrible things and it made you forget where you came from and forget your foundation? I think that's one way where we always have to start. Is what are our thoughts? What do we think about success? And also, what do you define as success? Is it just money? Is it just health? Or are you successful if you're poor but very, not financially rich, but rich spiritually? Well, Passion Players, I would like to say that one thing I do know is that our God is rich. He's the God that owns a cattle on a thousand hills. He's a God of abundance. He's a God of blessing. So if he's rich, then I'm rich. Then you're rich. And I think part of the mindset has changed for us a bit. In my experience, after 9/11, I think that we went back to our family and our foundation and trying to live a simple life and looking at things that were important. But I also think that possibly we live as a country from a standpoint of fear, like maybe something bad is going to happen or, you know, the money you had today will be gone, because those are the things that happen after 9/11 with the stock market plummeting and people losing loved ones. So I think that in a way we kind of carry that as a nation in our psyche now, that this doom and gloom that, you know, don't get too happy or don't rely on that or don't think everything is going to be okay, because in a blink of an eye it can change. And it can. But that is not how we are supposed to live out our lives every day. We are supposed to live our life waiting, expecting, believing, hoping, and in faith that we will have what we need. And God wants us to be successful. I believe that he's our greatest cheerleader, that every day that he lets the sun rise, the wind blow on our face, or even the rain that falls, or the very air that we breathe, our breath, that he's saying to us, I'm rooting for you. Go forth. Conquer. Be successful. Have what you want. Live in good health. Have an abundance of joy. Keep on having faith. Keep on being hopeful. It will happen. And I would just say that in my experience, I don't know about everyone else, but when I stand in that place, things do seem a little better. Things do seem a little brighter. And I feel that in my mind, I am successful because I am living as full a life as I can, as authentically as I can, open to all the blessings, and I hope that you will do the same. Because what is for me, as he is no respecter of persons, is for you. And this is Andrea M. Scott with the Passion Play for today. On the Coach to Love radio show. So we are way, I'm wondering, I'm just so surprised, you know, Clarence usually has something to say, but I guess my commentary was so wonderful and powerful that I have left him speechless. So I think that we are just living in a time where you don't necessarily have to stand in a place of hard work, but do the heart work. And as you do the heart work and find your passion, things will flow to you, success as you defined it. So this is, again, Andrea M. Scott on the Coast of Love radio show with your passion play for the day, and we're going to go to a commercial, and then we'll have the mix from none other than DJ Nonchalant and Shoes, and then we'll be back with Clarence and our guest for tonight. Thank you for listening.
Looking for the right business opportunity? Need the right product, the right marketing plan, and the absolute best training in the world? Well, look no further. The Elite Team. Every leader in time excels. They believe the key ingredients in becoming successful in life and in business are just a keystroke away. Go to www.eliteteamsite.com. That's www.eliteteamsite.com. The Elite Team has a system in place that will move you closer to achieving your goals and dreams. Visit www.eliteteamsite.com or TonyFlemingEnterprises.com today.
Tired of applying for jobs only to get turned down because of the economy or lack of a degree? What if you can qualify to work for those same Fortune 500 companies without worrying about a degree and work them from the comfort of your home? With JP Employment Services, LLC, enjoy the benefits of making your own hours, enjoy more free time, and earn a great salary. For details, call 678-835-7371. That's 678-835-7371. Or go to www.jpemployment.com. Must be able to pass a background check and certifications. Call JP Employment today.
Looking for a cafe with a home-like appeal where all who enter feel like they are part of something? Visit My Coffee Shop, located in East Lake, Atlanta, Georgia. MCS has a full breakfast and lunch menu, offering both hot and cold options, and is home of the amazing basil lemonade. But don't forget their assortment of freshly brewed coffees. Come on by at 2462 Memorial Drive, Atlanta, Georgia, 30317. We're pretty sure my coffee shop at East Lake will become your coffee shop, too.
Houston, Atlanta, Dallas. Calling out all high school seniors and current college students. Listen up.
Don't let your barriers block your blessings.
And don't let your past dictate your future.
Because we have a challenge for you.
Hi, this is Dorian Paul Williams, formerly of the great Charlie Wilson and the Gap Band, and founder of the Fathers Who Will Foundation. We created a unique scholarship called the See Average Encouragement Scholarship. That's right, See Average Encouragement Scholarship, because of students just like this. And we're coming to your town to bless you. Hit them with the website.
That's www.cscholarshiptour.com.
That's www.cscholarshiptour.com.
So,
you may be a C-average student now,
but with a little more encouragement and motivation,
let's show the world what you can be.
Well, this is your boy DJ Nas. I want to wish every mother a happy Mother's Day to my wife, Mia, to my mother in Detroit, and my mother-in-law in Detroit, and all the mothers listening to Coach Love Radio. Hope you guys enjoy this special Mother's Day mix. You already know what it is, Coach Love Radio. Big homie Clarence White and Andrea Scott. Happy Mother's Day mix to the radio. You know how we do.
What a mother tells her son. Her only one.
come from me. No one else can be what you have been to me. You will always be.
When I was young, me and my mama had beef. 17 years old, kicked out on the streets. Though back at the time, I never thought I'd see a face. Ain't a woman alive that could take my mama's place. Suspended from school, scared to go home. I was the fool with the big boys breaking all the rules. Shed tears with my baby sister. Over the years, we was poor than other little kids. And even though we had different daddies, the same drama when things went wrong, we blamed mama. I reminisce on the stress I caused. It was hell, hugging on my mama from a jail cell. And who thinking elementary? Hey, I see the penitentiary one day. Running from the police, that's right. Mama catch me, put a whoop into my backside. And even as a crack fiend, mama, you always was a black queen, mama. I finally understand, for a woman it ain't easy trying to raise a man. You always was committed, a poor single mother on welfare. Tell me how you did it, there's no way I can pay you back. But the plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it. Dear mama, you all appreciate it.
This song is dedicated to my mother. I know I can never say it enough, but thank you.
Thank you, mama.
Mama, let me tell you, this is long overdue. I never would have made it if I didn't have you. You made me who I am. You gave me all you had. You showed me good from bad. Now I'm a better man. And every time I stumble, you catch me when I fall. Cause your loving hand was right there and it held me through the storm. So I'ma give you flowers when I know that you can smell them. Cause I gotta let you know, mama, you're a blessing. Come on. Understand why you did the things you did. Now I see you had a plan.
Yeah, you did.
You showed me how to fly. You wanted me to soar. Hide above the clouds, far beyond the sky. Now I owe you more. Thank you for your prayers and keeping me in church. How to value education and keeping family first. I thank God you are my mama, that he brought you in my life, and that you are a great example of what to look for in a wife. Come on.
Welcome back, Coach to Love family. Tonight, to Coach to Love Radio with your host, Clarence White, on the Survival Radio Christian Network. Tonight's guest is Dr. Kamika Royal. Dr. Kamika Royal is a personal friend to Coach to Love Ministries globally, and she is an education historian and teacher who has served urban communities since 1999. Dr. Royal's research primarily focuses on the role of race in urban school reform. And some of her major research projects have explored the teacher appraisal system, the merit pay in charter schools, and the experiences of black educators in the Philadelphia area. Dr. Royal writes about contemporary education issues, and she has been a recurring education coordinator to Al Jazeera America TV and the web show HuffPost Live. Currently, she teaches Foundations of Education courses at Arcadia University in Pennsylvania, as well as student teachers at Temple University. This summer, Dr. Royal begins her new post as Assistant Professor of Urban Education at Loyola University, Maryland. Coach to Love family, welcome to our show and our audience, the none other than Dr. Kamika Royal. Welcome, Dr. Royal.
Thank you so much. That was such a nice introduction.
Oh, it's our pleasure. We're excited to have you on the show and to spend this time with us this evening, both because of your pedigree and because we just love you so much.
Oh, well, y'all have definitely been a blessing to me. So there's not much you would ask me for that I wouldn't do.
Awesome. Well, if it's okay with you, let's dive right in to the meat of the subject and see what happens. You ready?
Okay. Yep.
Okay. For our first question, I thought we'd talk about the haves and the have-nots. Not necessarily the show that Tyler Perry has produced on the OWN network, but more in particular and more globally speaking, that, you know, in this country, there is, for at least some of us, we believe, a great divide between those who have and those who do not have. We hear a lot about, especially during these political cycles, about the middle class shrinking and that you will find yourself on one half of the divide or the other. Where do you stand personally on this debate? And do you feel that this is an issue that we should pay attention to on the global and cultural, within the global and cultural economies?
I definitely think that I think the middle class is shrinking. I think that, I mean, people are definitely living in poverty more and more. I think far too many of us are too busy trying to be the 1% instead of trying to deal with income inequity. And, you know, the amount of wealth that some people accumulate while others, you know, have to sort of live, not even check to check, just not knowing sort of where their next meal or sort of, you know, income, how the next bill is going to be paid. Like, that's, it's obscene in this country, and it's ridiculous.
Yeah. I absolutely agree with you on both points. And it breaks my heart to both see it, the level of poverty that exists just in America in general, and the lack of initiative from all levels, both global and local, to address those who are impoverished or challenged. But let's turn back to the topic a little bit. Within our community, the black community, we have generally been taught as what was kind of highlighted, I think, on this past season in Scandal, that as African Americans, for our scandalopras out there, that as African Americans, we have to work twice as hard to get half the results. For me personally, I believe that this is still true, unfortunately. However, the larger irritation for me and what I believe may be for others is that once a little bit of success is earned, however hard we got to fight for just that little bit of success, then we get labeled, and when we – stop, let me stop. Once that success is earned and we begin to show signs that we're enjoying or living in our success, then we have to fight with the label of being bougie. or separating ourselves from our brothers and sisters who have not necessarily accomplished the same. Are there interfamily or larger cultural barriers to success that we must face and address? And if so, what are some of those obstacles?
Are there interfamily barriers to success? I think there are. I think sometimes we, far too many parents and family members limit people based on our own experiences. And I think that we have to be careful not to do that. You know, I have a girlfriend who went to, I'm from Philadelphia. We both went away to college, both went to historically black colleges. She stayed at hers for 2 years and transferred back home to Temple, you know, fine institution. But she made herself the measuring stick for her child and said, you know, he has to at least go away for 2 years. And I'm like, okay, I mean, in some ways it makes sense. And in other ways, I feel like we limit our children by using ourselves and sort of not only using ourselves as a measuring stick, but, you know, we do this whole, I don't know how, we limit, I don't know how we're going to pay for this, or I don't know how this is going to happen. And I think that I'd love to see black families get to the point that we can encourage one another, work together, have faith, even when we don't see how it's going to happen, that we would believe in each other's strengths, each other's talents, that we would nurture our children, those things in our children enough so that we can help them access things. And if we can't help them access it, that we find people who can help our children access these things instead of being confined and defined by the situations in which we currently live.
Mm. Now, this I like how you pointed that out, and there was something in your response that reminded me, and this is a little bit off the script of how I thought this evening conversation would go. Recently, you know, there's been this whole deal with Donald Sterling of the LA mm-hmm. Clippers, and in his interview, he chose to draw a parallel between how the Jewish community sticks together, bonds together, lifts each other up and supports each other and help the next person gain a certain level of success. Whereas he said he does not see anyone in the African-American community doing that. In other words, one person reaches success and they don't look back to help anyone else, or the community, our community as a whole does not bond together and help each other. When you mentioned the measuring stick piece, is it because we only see things in an isolated, just from your opinion or maybe from your research, because you've done tons on education within our community, is it that we're not educating ourselves to see ourselves as a global community, that it's within each household? We set a standard for our household and we don't worry about what happens to our neighbor or those who exist in our community. Is that an issue for us?
Well, let's go back for a second, because your question presupposes that what Donald Sterling said is true, and I disagree with
sure.
that. So
sure.
we're not limited
sure.
by what Donald Sterling has seen, because Donald
yes,
Sterling
ma'am.
Has proven himself to be an idiot. So,
oh, yes, ma'am.
you know, what he has or has not seen does not define who we are. Now, in
sure.
terms of how much support we actually give one another, I think it depends on – it's hard to say, you know, that we do it or we don't do it, right? I think it's complicated, and I think it's complicated across families, across communities, and across cities and across countries. I think,
right.
by and large, unfortunately, you know, while people may try to deny some of the lasting impact of, you know, slavery on us, I feel like black people, to some extent, we are broken people, and there are
yes.
things that we do to try to make up for the brokenness, that, and sometimes it's accumulating wealth and accumulating stuff. Sometimes it's, you know, sometimes it is trying to mentor somebody else, you know, with that whole lifting as we climb sort of thing. And sometimes it is that crabs in a barrel sort of mentality. I think our brokenness comes out in a lot of different ways. But I do think we could always stand to be more supportive of one another. That is not something that will ever hurt us. You know, you reap what you sow. And so the more we can sow cooperation, support, encouragement, you know, the better off we'll be for it.
Excellent. Thank you for that response. I have another personal theory I'd like to share with you in regards to a specific segment of our population. This is a theory that I would love to have someone pay me to take a sabbatical and just study full time for that entire period. I believe that our professional single females have the greatest challenge finding intimate companionship. And my theory is that because of their success, single women, in a sense, if you could picture this phrase, outprice themselves for the dating market that's available to them. What are your thoughts on that? The dynamic of single successful women being seemingly intimidating or serving as a threat to what's available to them for a counterpart.
Because to some extent, I think this whole, like, it's, you know, I understand where the conversation comes from, but it does, it makes me a little weary. I understand why people say that some of us have out-educated and out-priced ourselves out of, you know, suitable black men as companions. I don't believe that. I tend to, a few years ago when I got really serious about my walk with Christ, you know, I decided that if I was going to believe God, I was going to believe him to be God. And so God isn't limited by, you know, what people perceive to be my available whatever or the fact that I have a PhD. You know, there are a lot of single black women. There are also a lot of single white women. In the last few years, I've had several white women ask to sit down and talk to me, and we talk about, you know, issues with men. And it's always kind of startling to me, like, you know, this has been, it's been portrayed as a black woman's issue. And I think we women who are professional, to some extent, find challenges around finding a partner, but it's not just about education and it's not just about income. I think there are other forces at play.
So in a nutshell, your success is not a factor or shouldn't be a factor in regards to those who are available for you today. In other words, our men should not be intimidated by your success.
Men should absolutely not be intimidated by my success, but I feel like if a man is intimidated by my success, then that's clearly not the man for me.
Ah, very good. Very good. Very well stated. Very well stated. And I'll leave it there before I find my name on the chopping block. So now, it is a battle. I think we would all agree that once we achieve success, whatever we design or however we define success, and I like what my co-partner Andrea stated in her commentary by making success more attainable for all of us. I think we put too much on for defining success by what we have and
mm-hmm.
what titles we've obtained and those type of things. But success can be defined every day in just in the small areas of our life. So let's just keep it there. No matter what the success is, there seems to be a challenge to, A, get there, and, B, a challenge to keep it. One of the areas where we are challenged seems to be those places that are closest to us, whether that be your workplace and your coworkers or your boss, our social circles of friends, fraternity brothers, sorority sisters, even our family members sometimes challenge us to get to a place of success or keep that level of success. In your opinion, what are the factors driving the need for us to constantly fight for and prove our worth and our talent and or set boundaries around our circles of influence to protect whatever success we've gained?
That one is it's a little hard for me. I don't know. You know, it's hard for me because the Bible says your gifts will make room for you.
Yes, it does.
So when, you know, when if I take that to be true, then I feel like I don't have to fight to prove anything because my gifts will make room for me. If you're making room for me, I don't have to make room for myself. So when I think about people who are sort of trying to fight to prove their worth and get somebody to notice them or to acknowledge them, you know, I feel like that is further evidence of some of our brokenness. You know what
okay.
I mean? Like, it's a light that's shining doesn't have to sort of, you know, scream, hey, I'm shining, you know, come check me out.
Exactly.
I think far too many of us are jockeying and trying to position instead of just doing our work, doing our part and letting those works speak for us. I think we would be better off to do that instead of chasing, you know, success or chasing wealth or chasing, you know, the spotlight.
Well, again, I think it goes back to what you were using in the example of your friend that you graduated from high school with, is that one of our issues is what we use as a plumb line or a measuring rod to determine what success is. If success is something that we believe is, one, does not come from us but through us, and two, is accessible to all of us, then we feel less threatened by those folks within, even whether they're in our outer or our inner circle, we're not threatened by it. In fact, mm-hmm. like you pointed out earlier, instead we're encouraged to do what? Lift them as we continue to climb because we're
mm-hmm.
not threatened by them. But let's turn the tables. Let's flip the script. Let's talk about the negative folks, the doubters, the haters that may sometimes be in our inner circle, and they're disguising themselves as supporters, but really,
yeah.
you know, behind the scenes, they're tearing us down or wishing ill on us. How do we use that negativity from those people or whatever, or from our circumstances, to fuel us towards more positive results?
I mean, I think. So that's something that's been, it's been hard for me because relationships are important, trust is important. And so
okay.
to find out that somebody you trusted, you know, it actually does not have your best interest at heart or genuinely cares about you but is so sort of consumed by their own jealousy or what they think you have that you may not even have or, you know, their perceptions, it's really hard. I think
okay.
I don't know how I could move forward in spite of those people without prayer and without a relationship with God.
Okay.
Because it hurts so much when you have those folks close to you. But you know, we have to find our positions and our identities in God and not in our relationships. You know, at that instance, we run the risk of making those relationships idols, and we can't allow ourselves to be limited by, you know, what anybody is saying, whether this person loves you or not. You know, I tell people all the time that there nobody, I don't know anybody in this world who loves me more than my parents. But my parents came up in a very different era than I did. You know, they're 66 and 73, I guess, and you know, they see things differently than I do. And so there's been a lot of things that, for me, they've questioned or they've kind of struggled with that they watch me do. And it hurt at times not to have their support. But it wasn't because they didn't love me. It's because they didn't understand. You know what I mean? And so I can't,
okay.
can't be held up by that.
You mean they didn't understand?
Forward.
They didn't understand what you were attempting to accomplish in your actions or,
right.
or the
Some
decisions
the
you were making?
Right, right.
Okay. 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 Wow. That is powerful because especially when it's someone that close to you, and I didn't think about it in that context that that they're not necessarily attempting to hold you back because they're hating on you or fighting against you, but they simply can't understand the vision that God has given you for your life
right.
or
right.
for that season or the journey that God has sent you on. And how do you fight against that when it's somebody that you know loves you and you love them too.
Mm-hmm.
I can't help on that one either, Doc.
I mean, it's hard, you know. I have found that when a relationship is worth maintaining, then it's worth it to talk about the thing that was bothering me or I felt violated by. You know what I'm saying? Because otherwise you hold on to that thing and you nurse that thing. But when you're moving in the direction that God has you going, then, you know, you got to – people are either going to get right or get left. And if the relationship is important enough to you, then you don't want them to get left. So, you know, we got to talk it out so we can keep moving forward together.
Get right or get left. Wow.
I mean
– that's one of – that sounds like one of those Philadelphia Panther slogans.
Well, I'm saying.
We're going to leave that right there.
You know, well, we got a little edge in Philly. We got a little edge.
Just a tad bit. Because you are such a great educator and you have spent the majority of your adult life preparing for your field of study, and particularly in the urban community. You've embraced our population to see our population rise in terms of educational standards, both the children and the teachers. I wanted to present a question to you about the responsibility of knowledge, because for me, success also is defined by the level of knowledge that you obtain, all right, and wisdom that you eventually gain through knowledge. General Colin Powell highlighted this for me in his autobiography, and he said something of the nature of we become responsible for what we know. Talk to us about the burden of knowledge and whether it's gained through experience or exposure or earned in an academic setting. What is our burden? What is our responsibility for the knowledge that we have?
I think Colin Powell is right. I think Maya Angelou said, when you know better, you do better, right?
Yes.
And there are some theorists who would kind of oppose that. But I think that knowledge comes with enormous, huge responsibilities. You know, we would not be where we are as a people if we didn't have people who took knowledge, who took community very seriously. And so I think we owe it to our elders and our ancestors, those who have come before us, to pay that forward. You know, somebody figured out ways to hide codes and songs and to, you know, sneak books and to make us literate when it was illegal. You know, there's a responsibility that comes with that. You know, there's a reason why we all know, you know, from The Color Purple, you got one sister teaching the other sister because only one sister could go to school. There's a responsibility that comes with knowing something. And if you are going to be a responsible person, a person who cares about, you know, the community, a person who wants to see us all do better, you can't sit on what you know because it's not just for you. You know, I'm quite clear that my parents were not college educated. This past Sunday, I got the chance to worship at the church I grew up in with my mom, and I can't sit there and not think about the women who, from the time I was a baby, nurtured me and didn't go to college and wanted to see, they were pouring into me and just making sure that I was going to do well, or those women who did, those women who were teachers and were counselors and would say to my mother, I got her. Like, I know you don't know how to help her with this, but I'll step in and I'll help her. We definitely have a responsibility. And more of us need to, far too often we spend so much time trying to be like somebody else. You know, I got mine, and I don't worry about all these other people. And instead of that, we need to go back to being a community where we see each other as each other's responsibility. We need much more of that if we're ever going to get anywhere.
We lift as we climb. But now let's turn that coin over and look at it on the other side. Do we sometimes put a unfair burden or responsibility on those that we look up to? Whether it's, you know, we hear about this most often with athletes and entertainers rejecting their role as role models or rejecting their responsibility to a community or a people or an organization and basically saying what you just said, I got mine, I don't understand why y'all can't do the same. But from the flip side of that, is it unfair for us to expect somebody who's quote-unquote made it out or made it up to look back and help those who haven't? Is that fair?
You know, I feel like that's a complicated question, and my
it
short
is.
Answer is even if it's unfair, it's still what we should expect. Athletes and entertainers,
there's that revolutionary again.
Well, I'm just saying, I mean, they are human. You know, they can
right.
make mistakes as well, right? So, like, I don't
Absolutely.
Think that we should put people in the place of there's no grace, like you can't be redeemed, but you're in the spotlight. If you're in the spotlight, people go look. You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like, and so there is
okay.
a responsibility because people see your light being your life being magnified, and that may not be fair. It, you know, we to take a line from Jay-Z, can I live, right? Like, that's what somebody want to say, why can't I just do me? Well, because you chose to be in the light. And so in the light, we can all see you doing you. And if you don't want us to see and to critique and have an opinion about what you're doing, step out the light.
Step away from it.
Pretty much.
I got it. Now, well, we're coming very close to time, but I want to kind of wrap up with this question. Are the sacrifices that we make for success worth it? You know, like you pointed to Jay-Z and the life is the quote that he made, but there's a line in his last album where he's essentially talking about what his life would look like if he just gave all of it up and he just stopped. And then he comes right back after that line and said, "No, I'm just kidding. I wouldn't do that." So it's like, you know, there's the temptation of saying, you know, this is too much of a burden for me to bear. And
mm-hmm.
there has to be the temptation to walk away from it and go back to a lesser life just to have peace or freedom or joy or air or space. But for those who have attained it, is it worth it? Is it worth fighting for that?
I think, you know, we have to judge individually, is it worth it? I think some days it probably feels like it's worth it, and other times it doesn't. You know, I'm grateful for all the opportunities I've gotten, and I'm grateful. And some days I don't want to be bothered. I've definitely had moments when, you know, people were writing something about me. You know, I look on the internet and I'm seeing something crazy, or, you know, like those are the sorts of things when it doesn't feel like it's worth it, but I know that there's a greater good. And I know that there's something, you know, beyond me that's at work. So those are the moments when I feel like we have to get over ourselves and think about why we're in this position in the first place.
I like that. I like that what you're saying. It's just get past what you're experiencing in that moment and realize why God has called you to that place or to that purpose.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, in other words, we have to realize that whatever road we're on or whatever journey that God has placed us on is bigger than just us.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure your degree work, earning a PhD can, I'm sure it wasn't a cakewalk or a day in the amusement park. I wonder, or I can imagine that there were some days when you just asked yourself, is this what I really want to do, you know, with my life?
After my dissertation was written and I ran into some problems, I'm trying to tell you, I had defended the dissertation, but I literally told a good friend of mine, I am not doing another thing to that dissertation. I will walk away.
Wow.
And he talked me out of that. But I meant that thing. Because in that moment, I was like, y'all can have it. Y'all can have it. And I'm glad he talked me out of it.
So has it been worth it? Has it been a blessing to you?
Absolutely. But I pray even more than it's been a blessing to me, that I've been a blessing to others.
Thank you for saying that. Now, this is how I want you, you know, now we're at the end of our time. We're near the end of our hour. This is how I want you to bless our Coach to Love family. We know in Coach Love that you're doing a tremendous work in the field of education. But for those who are listening and on tonight's show, how can they connect with you or follow you through the remainder of your journey? I know that you have some written and published work out there, but are there any other formats that you want to help have people connect with you, please?
I mean, I have a website. You can go to the website. That's KamikaRoyal.com. Yeah, I think it's .com, KamikaRoyal.com. You can follow me on Twitter, at Dr. Kamika Royal. And I have a public Facebook page, Dr. Kamika Royal. But, yeah, I'm always invited to give talks different places, and I'm grateful for that. So And I usually tweet or post on my public Facebook page when I'm going to be in one of those places. So come see me.
Educators who are listening tonight to Coastal Love Radio with your host, Clarence White, I highly encourage you to connect with Dr. Kamika Roy, especially if you're serving an urban community. A term that I do not agree with, but it's overly publicized, so I'm using it only to connect with you. If you believe you're serving at-risk youth or children, then this is a resource that you do not want to pass on. So please do yourself a favor, do your students a favor, do our community a favor, and connect with Dr. Kamika Roy. Dr. Roy, we thank you for your time that you've spent with us this evening.
Thank you.
On Coastal Love Radio, you have tremendously blessed us, and we welcome you to come back at any time to talk with us about what's on your heart and what you're doing for our people.
Thank you so much.
Coastal Love Family. Coast Love family, we've run our hour this evening, and we celebrate you sincerely for your investment of time, effort, and energy, and attention into this particular program. Both myself and our passion player, Andrea M. Scott, wish you a wonderful week coming up. And as always, stay blessed and stay beautiful.
I send this song out to those struggling with low self-esteem, especially to those absentee fathers. Go reconnect with your son, with your daughters. I came to remind you, there is a king in you.